Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Vaccinations and Your Rights in the U.S., a show co-hosted by HWC founder and homeopath Debbie Brock and attorney-at-law Alan Phillips. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your thoughts and questions. Let's go.
Welcome. Pleasure to have you with us today. My name is Alan Phillips. I am a vaccine rights attorney speaking to you from Asheville, North Carolina. Today here in North Carolina, the western part of the state anyway, cloudy, rainy, and cool day. Just enough above freezing to be rain instead of snow, and I suspect some of the outlying mountain areas are seeing some snow today. Spring snow. I tell you, we saw more snow in the week of spring break a couple days ago here in Asheville than we did through the entire winter, and that still was not very much at all. But some of the mountain areas have gotten a lot more. Welcome. Today is Thursday, April 4th, a little after 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 Mountain Time, and 12 noon Central Time. And we're here every Thursday for 2 hours. And today, in the first half hour, what we typically do, I talk about some vaccine exemption and waiver rights issues, maybe some vaccine legislative issues, and I answer questions to the extent that I have time to get to them and that people have called in or emailed in questions. And by the way, if you're not able to listen to the show live and you listen to the archives, you can reach me by email. That's attorney@vaccinerights.com, attorney@vaccinerights.com, and I try to reply to emails directly, but also bring some of those questions on the air for the benefit of other people, because usually when one person is asking a question, it's an issue that other people are wondering and don't get around to actually asking, or perhaps didn't even realize it was something they didn't understand or know about, and so your question helps not only you, but many, many other people. So, and I don't know if it shows or how much it shows. I've got a little laryngitis today, but it doesn't seem to be keeping me from talking. So if my voice sounds a little different today, that would be why. But I'm going to keep on keeping on. There's too much to cover here. I had an interesting question from somebody a while back asking if you can get constitutionally protected religious exemption in a state like California that technically doesn't have a religious exemption. And the emailer says, well, you have medical and philosophical. And this is an interesting issue because it's going to be affecting more than just California, the general underlying issue. And that is, what do you have a religious exemption if your state doesn't use the word religion or religious in your exemption statutes or regulations? And California's doesn't, and there's a bill pending right now in Oregon to change the exemption there. And if they change the exemption in Oregon, they will no longer have the word religion or religious in their vaccine exemption law as well. So it's a good question. But the good news is for California, which as far as I know is the only state that has this question right now, because now every state offers a religious exemption except or provides for, I'll say, religious exemption except Mississippi and West Virginia. But California's law doesn't use the words, and so a lot of people say, oh, well, we don't have religious exemption here. And while, depending on what you mean exactly by that, strictly speaking, it doesn't have a religious exemption because it doesn't use those words. But the more practical question is, can you exercise the exemption on the basis of religious objections? And the short answer is, in California, yes, you can. Now, I have to qualify my answer by saying I'm licensed in North Carolina. I can't give advice about other state laws or purely state law issues. And I never intend for information on the air to be, rarely if ever, to be legal advice. Really, it's all about educational information. I do work with clients all over the country because even with state religious exemption laws, the questions about for example, what does and doesn't qualify for a religious exemption. That's a federal law question, even if your starting place is a state law, and how you write a statement of religious beliefs, for example, even for a state religious exemption, is really a federal law question, because the boundaries are determined by the First Amendment of the Constitution and not by state law. So that's how and why I work with clients all over the country. But the question of interpreting a state law, is a more specific state law kind of issue. But in any case, it's my understanding that the California Department of Health, State Department of Health, has confirmed that the state exemption does include a religious basis for objections, because the law refers to personal beliefs. And that's a broad, inclusive phrase or term that encompasses both religious and non-religious objections to vaccines. So yes, in California, you can object on both religious and non-religious grounds. The exemption just doesn't require you to clarify whether or not it's religious or non-religious. And so good news there, I hope, for people who may have had some confusion on that. And I hear that question or see that come up from time to time, where people in California think they can't exercise an exemption because of religious objections, but actually it turns out that you can. So good thing to keep in mind here. I had a real interesting email I got recently from my older son, who is a college teenager with a sense of humor, so to speak, and I thought I would mention this. He sends me a graph, and this is not intended to be serious, folks, so a little light levity here, I hope, because the issues we talk about are pretty dark issues most of the time. But sent me this graph that says the real cause of increasing autism prevalence, The real cause of increasing autism prevalence. It shows a graph of increasing autism rates, this particular graph from 1998 to 2007, and then a parallel graph showing the increase in sales of organic food. And the two graphs are virtually identical. They're very, very similar curves across the same period of time. And I don't think anybody's seriously suggesting that organic foods are causing autism. But it actually raises a serious point, and that is that you'll hear people say a lot of times as a matter of science that correlation does not equal causation. You can have a correlation between two things, and it could be a direct causal relationship or not. And I remember hearing an example years ago where a study showed that coffee drinkers had there was a correlation between drinking coffee and heart attacks, and the temptation, and maybe even the initial conclusion to draw there, is that coffee causes heart problems or heart attacks. However, when they looked more closely, they discovered that the coffee drinkers in the study, a significant percentage of them, were cigarette smokers. They were sitting down and smoking a cigarette while they're drinking their coffee. And so maybe it wasn't the coffee at all. Maybe it was the cigarettes that was causing the or a more direct cause. So correlation is not causation, but correlation can be a really, really good reason to look to see if there is a causal relationship. So, for example, we see that there is a correlation between, in a recent study, between the number of vaccines children have received and the frequency and severity of alleged serious vaccine reactions. This is taken from the VAERS data, which is the federal government database, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. Now, this is a voluntary reporting system, and doctors are legally required to report suspected vaccine adverse events, but there's no enforcement, there's no penalty for not doing so. And in fact, what we hear anecdotally over and over again from around the country is that doctors refuse to report. In fact, we've had testimony, congressional testimony, that medical students are taught not to report vaccine adverse events. So it's by far not a perfect system. The vaccine adverse reporting system is not confirmation that a vaccine injury or adverse event actually even occurred. It's a database for people to report suspected adverse events. However, when you have enough of those in terms of quantity of reports and you're looking at the data, you know, you can draw some statistically relevant conclusions, or at least tentative conclusions. And what we find is a correlation between the number of vaccines and the frequency and severity of reported alleged reactions. So is that proof that vaccines or number of vaccines actually is causing these serious health adverse events? Of course not. Is it suggestive that there may be a causal relationship? Absolutely. And so we should be doing studies looking into this to see if we can confirm or deny the suggested causal relationship. Is that happening? Not that I know of. Would there be any reason for anybody to want to delay or suppress or prevent that from happening? Absolutely, because if the truth about vaccines really becomes formally acknowledged in the mainstream press, it would have potentially devastating consequences on the vaccine industry. Now, that, of course, would also be profoundly wonderful consequences on the health of the American public. But that, of course, is a secondary concern to the profits of the pharmaceutical industry, at least as far as that industry is concerned. So be it. So that's how that goes. Here's an interesting bit of good news, and you got to throw that in when you can, as I say, in this issue, because it's such a dark and sometimes outright depressing topic, but a critical one for us to stay on top of, and that's why we're doing the show. But I got some feedback from a healthcare worker client of mine from several weeks ago, early this year, I believe, but in the 2012-2013 flu season, and she's reporting in an email that her exemption was accepted, so she was, of course, happy about that. And I'm happy to say the vast majority of my clients are successful with their exemption attempts. There are some arenas where you don't need to hire an attorney. It's very straightforward, but many other times it's more complicated, and healthcare employees or any employees, for that matter, who are being required to get vaccines as a condition of employment, that's a more complicated issue because it's relatively new and the employers just don't know about the law. In fact, they think there aren't laws that apply many times because they only look at state law and not the applicable federal law. So this employee got her exemption, which, of course, is good news. Had to wear a mask for a while. That's a separate issue. We could talk about that more. But she says, incidentally, out of the other 9 people in my department that did get the flu shot, 3 got the flu anyway and missed 2 to 3 days of work each. Excuse me again. So when you avoid the flu shot, not only do you avoid the risk of injury or death that occurs with the flu shot and every vaccine, but you avoid, you lessen your risk of getting the flu and being sick as well there too. Now, I'm drawing a conclusion there. Sounds like I'm drawing a conclusion from an isolated instance, and it is a conclusion I draw from anecdotal information, but I hear this over and over and over again from healthcare workers around the country. They say, I've never gotten the flu shot, I never get the flu, or I hardly ever get sick. It's the people who get the shot, and these are healthcare professionals who have been working for years, or in some cases decades, reporting to me what they've observed in the real world, not some theory spouted by the CDC or somebody who read a textbook. What they see in the real world is that it's the people who get the flu shots that end up getting sick during the winter and taking time off. And I hear this over and over again from all around the country. Enough to where I think it's information that's valid to consider, to factor in when considering, do I want to get a flu shot or not? Of course, for me, just the fact that the flu for the vast majority of people is a relatively mild disease, even when you do get it, and there are a couple of hundred different known viruses that can cause flu-like symptoms, the flu vaccine, even if it's effective, and that's a whole other issue, can only address a small, tiny percentage of the potential flu-like illness-causing viruses. And all vaccines come with a risk of injury and death. And you can go look at the Federal Vaccine Injury Compensation Program website, where they list, here are the payouts for each vaccine for each year, the last 25 or more years. Flu shots up there. They've paid out for injuries and death caused by flu vaccines. So for a disease that for most people is mild even if you get it, do you really want to take a vaccine and risk injury or death? There's many other things you can do to prevent and avoid getting the flu as well. Vitamin D supplements have been shown in published peer-reviewed medical study that to protect against the flu better than flu vaccines. So take vitamin D, a lot less expensive. It's not going to risk hurting you, so forth. Had another email from a homeopath and nurse in, I think it was up in New England, and was talking about a 13-year-old grandson that doesn't want to have any more vaccines, as he can see how they're negatively affecting his health. He's a bright young guy, top in his class, lives with mom and a stepdad. Does he have any right to refuse vaccines? And boy, I tell you, it's hard to know how much to tell your child at what age about the vaccine arena. My youngest son is 11, and the poor guy hears a lot from me about alternative views on a lot of things, but I balance it to the best of my ability. I say, this is not what most people believe. Here's why I believe it, and so forth. And I try to give to him information that I think he can handle, that he can understand, without burdening him, putting the world on his shoulders. But today's children are growing up in a very complicated world, and they deserve to know and understand what's going on in the world. It's going to be part of their job to help continue solving the problems that we're working on and after we're gone. So we really do have an obligation to inform our children and to get them involved in an age-appropriate way for the world we live in and for the problems that they have come in to address. But on a legal level, children don't have a right to an exemption to vaccines that I know of. I don't say how they could have a right, because constitutionally parents have to make the medical decisions. Now, we've seen laws around the country, or bills in state legislatures, that if enacted could become law, that and that would give children, and some laws that are already on the books that give children the right to consent to vaccines and other forms of medical treatment. And this is a disturbing trend that we see going on among many legislative trends in the vaccine arena right now, because constitutionally that's improper, it's inappropriate. So the idea that a child could consent to vaccines is disturbing, but it's happening. And but for the same reason that that's wrong, and to the best of my knowledge, there aren't any laws that have been passed giving children right to be exempt to vaccines. And this is part of the problem with a law that allows the child to consent to vaccines, because it's the parent that has the right to claim the exemption. So how can a child be the one who has the right to get the vaccines? Just another part of the problem with that issue. But no, when you're talking about exemptions, the parent or legal guardian is the one that has to determine exactly what the right is in any given state or situation, and the one that has to exercise that right and that authority. And it makes sense, especially if you're involved, for example, with religious exemptions. A child's religion for legal purposes is deemed to be that of the parents. And so even if your child is a precocious 16 or 17-year-old and really has formulated their own personal religious beliefs, that's fine for any personal application. And I wouldn't try to argue with my teenage kids about what beliefs they should or shouldn't have or do or don't have. Let them think for themselves. But if they're under 18 and I want to exercise religious exemption, it's about my religious beliefs, not about my child's religious beliefs. Now, hopefully my child and I share similar beliefs, but in my house anyway, it's fine if we don't. And there are some differences with me and my children on that topic. But if I'm going to exercise an exemption, doesn't matter whether my child thinks he's an atheist or not, or any other religion, I can exercise that right based on my beliefs. And his beliefs legally are deemed to be my beliefs. So children don't really have any rights to exercise exemptions as far as I know. So, well, let's move on from there. Let's see. I think I've got a couple other things here. Wanted to look at, I don't know if I talked about this previously on this show or not. My notes don't clarify that. So, but if I'm repeating, it's something that's worth repeating. This is from an excerpt from a copy of Dr. Jane Orient's article titled Mandatory Influenza Vaccination for Medical Workers, a Critique. And Dr. Jane Orient is the director of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. I always get confused. I don't know if it's American Association or Association of American, but the last part is Physicians and Surgeons, and I apologize to Dr. Orient for my confusion. But I will read clearly the excerpt. And this came to me from the director of the National Vaccine Information Center's state team directors, Don Richardson. And here's what Dr. Orient has to say. In the view of public health authorities and many medical organizations, medical professionals, by virtue of their occupation, have forfeited the rights that apply to experimental subjects and patients. Let me read that again. In view of the public health authorities and many medical organizations, medical professionals, because of their occupation, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here, they forfeited their rights that apply to experimental subjects and patients. They are, and she's referring to being required to get flu shots or lose your job. The medical professionals are expected to assume unknown and potentially serious risks to achieve hypothetical, likely small protective benefits to patients, with no mention of indemnification for harm if they suffer. In other words, no one's going to compensate them or there's no mention of whether or not somebody would compensate them for the harm they may suffer. The influenza vaccine mandate is authority-based, not evidence-based. I know that's a clear, straightforward sentence, but I'm going to read that again because it is succinct, concise, hits the nail on the head. The influenza vaccine mandate is authority-based, not evidence-based. And nothing could be truer than that. The influenza vaccine mandate for healthcare workers is just simply irrational. There's no evidence to support it. Dr. Orient goes on to say it is arguably both unnecessary and insufficient. Now, she acknowledges here that nosocomial infections are a problem. The pandemic influenza is a genuine threat. But the emphasis on compelling acceptance of vaccines, which have at best limited effectiveness against one source of infection with a small proportion of potential pathogens. So that's what I was saying earlier, 200 or more different known viruses that cause flu-like symptoms, only 3 or 4 addressed in a flu shot. This diverts resources from measures with much greater potential protectiveness, including environmental and engineering changes in efforts to bolster patients' resistance. Dr. Orient makes a very concise and clear argument here. Sadly, I think it's a little bit too sophisticated for most state legislators to be able to read and understand it. She needs to bring it down a grade level or two, you know, middle school, high school level tops, if she wants most legislators to be able to really read and understand this. But powerful information here. There is a website for this. I'm not going to try to read it over the air. But if anyone wants a link to Dr. Jane Orient's article, again, the title is Mandatory Influenza Vaccination for Medical Workers, a Critique. Send me an email to attorney@vaccinerights.com. To me, Alan Phillips, attorney@vaccinerights.com. And just say you'd like a link to Dr. Orient's article, and I'll be glad to send that to you. See how we're doing time-wise here. It's going to be just about time for a break in a little bit here. Let me see if I've got another short piece of information here. Maybe have gotten through the things I want to talk about here quickly. So I tell you what, folks. I will go on to break now a little bit early, but that will bring Debbie Bruck on in if not immediately after break, as soon after break as she's able to join us. Though, Debbie, if you're listening, you're welcome to come in right after break. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. I'm vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips talking to you from Asheville, North Carolina. We will be back in about 4 to 5 minutes. Don't go away, folks. Hope to talk to you again shortly.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
AntiWarTea.com is to promote anti-war activism, unlocking minds and shattering paradigms. By purchasing one of these t-shirts, you become an anti-war activist. www.antiwartea.com, bringing peace and human rights to the mainstream. Buy it, wear it, become it. Anti-War Tea.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella Sabrina's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just cloned the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up, speak up, speak out.
See the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at SheTheMotionPicture.com.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself for someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
This is Debbie.
And I'm Michael, along with CD, the Constitutional Defender Dog. Is mainstream media giving you the real stories, or are they just telling you what they want you to hear?
Join us for Securing Liberty on Freedomizer Radio, Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. Central.
We'll be joined by great guests, discuss interesting and important topics, current events, maybe even a little humor. Be prepared for anything.
It will be 90 minutes of information sure to help you on your quest for truth. So join Securing Liberty at 11 p.m. Central on Freedomizer Radio.
Well, welcome. We are back. This is Alan Phillips, vaccine rights attorney in Asheville, North Carolina, speaking to you on Freedomizer Radio and simulcast on Homeopathy World Community Radio. We are very pleased, I don't think I mentioned this earlier today, to have been able to combine the two shows and to be with you and to folks with Homeopathy World Community and Freedomizer Radio. And my wonderful, wonderful co-host, Debbie Brook, is with us now. Debbie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent, Alan. And everyone should know Alan is a hardworking human being. Behind the scenes, he's collecting data. He's thinking about all of the different bills that are going on in the states and probably formulating something, some kind of response or a rebuttal or just a white paper, anything to get this information out and address these topics to the right people. And you can be a part of all of this activity to secure your rights in the United States and your health freedoms by getting involved in particular organizations. So do you want to tell the folks about that, or do you want me to mention the NVIC?
Either one of us, Debbie. You know, it wasn't too long ago where to be involved legislatively in anything with any sort of serious goal would be a part-time, if not full-time, job to take on. And I suspect that as our country has grown over the last couple hundred years and become larger and more complex in many ways on many levels, including, of course, our political systems, it has become increasingly hard for people to even be aware, let alone actively involved. And what has, I think, resulted from that is that fewer and fewer people have been the ones who have been making the decisions for more and more of us, as it has become over the decades and centuries increasingly difficult for people to be aware and involved in their political systems. I know if someone would have told me when I was in my early 20s, let's say, that one day I would be an attorney or a legislative activist, I would have been on the ground laughing because they were the farthest thing from my mind. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And now I realize with great concern, that would be an understatement, actually, that...
And if people ever thought that I would be on the radio, boy, I was shy. Public speaking, forget about it.
Right. Well, we just keep telling Debbie that she's not talking to the public, she's just talking to me, and then she forgets about all that, and she does great. But no, you know, the absence of awareness and participation means that other people who are aware and participating get to do whatever they want to, and I suspect a lot of people are drawn to become politically active because they care and want to make a difference. But I tell you, it is a far stronger draw to people who are craving power and want to use and in my opinion, abuse or manipulate that power for personal or private gain. And so that's what we see happening over and over again at both state and federal levels. It turns out with the advent of the Internet, though, it has become increasingly easier and easier for people to be legislatively aware and legislatively active. You no longer have to decide that you're going to, you know, quit your day job and be poor to be legislatively aware and active, or become a professional lobbyist as a way to be involved and hopefully make money while you're doing it. But if you really want to make money as a lobbyist, be a pharmaceutical lobbyist. But seal up your heart, you know, wrap it up in a box and send it away somewhere, throw morality and ethics out the window if you're going to do that. But
Just put blinders on. Be like those monkeys. Hear no evil, see no evil. I don't know about do no evil. But they just blind, deaf, and dumb. So now, would you like to review the top news, or do you want me to say a couple of words? What would you like?
Well, Debbie, as you know, I usually make a point of reviewing some of what are the more striking, at least to me, vaccine-related news articles before coming on any radio show so that I'm prepared to talk about current events.
I got sidetracked yesterday and today, and I gather from your comments a couple of minutes ago that you got the email I sent you kind of at the last minute. So thank you for being on top of things.
Yeah. I responded.
Debbie is amazing. Debbie has this, I'm speaking now to our listeners, almost as though you weren't there, Debbie, so I hope you don't. I hope I'm not doing this in an inappropriate way, but I want to brag about you, so I think you'll be okay with it. Debbie is an amazing human being who has redefined the phrase or word multitasking for me, among other things, but she accomplishes things, multiple things, seemingly simultaneously in shorter amount of time than it takes me to get to one of them. And so I just
truly... It's just a little exaggeration.
Well, I truly am, though, Debbie. I truly am amazed and impressed with what you do and what is so clear to me where you come from with what you're doing, which is every bit as important as what anyone does. And, you know, in a similar way that I joke about it, but I have mean it sincerely, that you've redefined multitasking for me. You have helped to redefine what a true, deep, and loving heart is in a human being, and to help revalidate for me my faith in humanity generally on its most fundamental level. Because when we see some of the things that are going on in the world, some of the problems in the world, some of the enormity of some of these problems, we realize there are some people who have serious problems of one kind or another, either just, you know, blinders to the max, or they're psychotic or evil or whatever it is, but there certainly are human beings.
Yeah, let's not say any more about them. And
I'm not a therapist. I'm not going to pin labels on anybody specifically, but we don't need to spend time, you know, speculating over what it is that's behind it in terms of the mental states of the people involved. But suffice it for our purposes to say that there are people who do some very disturbing things that have horrible adverse effects on others unnecessarily. And so when I meet someone like yourself and some of the other folks that I've had the great pleasure of meeting and working with in one capacity or another in the alternative vaccine arena and alternative, so-called alternative and complementary health, it's very reaffirming, because you don't go there. You don't do what we do if your goal is to see how much money you can make. And I've even talked to some of the alternative dentists, the ones who do proper amalgam removal, for example.
Right.
You know, they compromise their income in order to do something that they believe is critical and necessary to people's good health. You know, some of these, one in particular, a dentist who removed some of the amalgam from my teeth.
Yeah.
You know, he said he could be making a lot more money doing the standard thing. And that's one way that, just one example of many, I suppose, where money is used to manipulate and control people. As long as people are following their greed, they will be, however unwittingly, far more likely than not, lining right in with an agenda that is set up to get them to do exactly that. But the agenda they end up supporting is one that is adverse to people's health. If you do the mainstream dental thing and you're putting metal in people's teeth, you're creating illness so that the pharmaceutical industry then has a bigger market.
Or metal and vaccines. So I want to wave hello to all of the folks who are out there listening, to the people on Freedomizer Radio who are in the chat. There's Junior's mom, Deb, another Deb, and Sky, Cowgirl, or a sexy cowgirl. And I'll tell you what, they have put world news in there. So world news about nearly 50 million Americans in poverty, the worst time since LBJ, and other types of news such as the insane crowds as customers flood Connecticut gun stores before a vote. And you know what? I was reading some of your news about vaccines, and Connecticut seems to be a more liberal state in terms of allowing exemptions for waivers, and so it's kind of, maybe it's just a liberal state, but they're making some laws about the guns and making it harder for people to get them too, and so that's why people are knocking at the door to buy a gun, I guess. Anyway, I think all of this world news is pertinent to everything that we talk about. When we speak of health freedom, your legal rights to keep those freedoms and maintain them and even fight for them, which is something that we really have to do on the ground today. I would like to know if you wanted to talk about those basic
I got off a bit
points.
Of a tangent there, Debbie. I'm sorry.
Let's talk about the Mississippi residents and their there's a petition for a philosophical exemption. No, that's an action item. Is that only for Mississippi residents, or can anybody sign that petition?
Well, it's going to be relevant. It's only really going to be relevant to Mississippi people. Because what this, again, let me give a little bit of a preface here, because I usually review the vaccine news. I got sidetracked this week in particular when I was looking at bills throughout the country. There are anywhere from 1 to 6 vaccine-related bills pending right now in over 30 states. I don't have a count of the number of bills, but it's just dozens of them, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of give or take around 100 bills in state legislatures right now as we speak around the country. The vaccine police state is poised to materialize before our eyes, right here in this country and all around this country. And so what I'd like to, if you have any vaccine news items to talk about.
Do you think that people are aware of this, or do you think the majority?
No, not at all. I think people in the alternative vaccine community aren't even aware of this. I think of people who are familiar with the National Vaccine Information Center's advocacy portal, where I got the information that I want to talk about today, are not even aware of this. Because what I did now I've got an article that's been submitted to Natural News. I expect that'll
right.
probably...
You compiled a lot of data. You compiled all the bills that are pending.
Well, let me tell you what I did. The big work here was done for me, and so I want to make sure I give credit where credit is due. The National Vaccine Information Center's advocacy portal, and folks, that is nvicadvocacy.org. nvicadvocacy.org. There, the NVIC's advocacy portal lists current vaccine bills in every state and states around the country. Now, I don't know that they necessarily have every single bill in the country posted. They have bills posted to the extent that people associated with the NVIC portal have scoured their own states or other state legislators' bills and found vaccine bills and gotten them posted. So these may not even be all the bills that are out there. But what I did was to go a step further, to take that list of bills and categorize it so that we can get kind of an overview of the trends that are going on around the country. There are many bills pending in a single state where that's the only thing, the only place in the country where that particular bill is pending, you know, where there's someone attempting to get that law through. But there are other areas where there are several states trying to do the same or similar thing. And so I reorganize the information so that we can get kind of an overview of what's going on around the country. And this is really important because in this arena, like probably other arenas, there's a lot of states following other states. Somebody passes a law or even introduces a bill in one state, and other states will say, oh, look, they're doing that. We can do that too. And this can be something that happens whether the bill or law in one state is a constitutional law or not. So, for example, when Washington State in 2011 passed an unconstitutional restriction on vaccine religious exemptions, then other states started looking at that. Oh, we can restrict exemptions like that too. And so then we had a New England state, I think it was Vermont, that was trying to pass a similar law, for example. So it's important for people to know what's going on in their state and to become politically active, to support or oppose, as is appropriate, vaccine bills in their state, oppose any that are against vaccine freedom of choice and support any that are supporting vaccine freedom of choice. And in fact, we have some states where they have laws going both ways at the same time. It's like the state's going to have to choose. Are they going to go one direction or the other direction, or maybe neither direction? But it's very interesting. Connecticut is one of the most active states right now. There's at least six different vaccine bills pending in Connecticut alone. And there's a few other states that have four or five or six bills pending. So, but you don't even have to join the advocacy portal. You can just go look at their home page, and you'll see the list of bills in states around the country. So I really encourage folks to do that, because we are living in a time and age, and I think most people in the country are just oblivious to this, though I'm happy to say my impression is more and more people are beginning to become aware of that. But we're living in a time where there's a rapid erosion of our basic fundamental rights and freedoms, and we need to make sure that we're not taking that for granted, and we're not just looking the other way as this is happening, because it's not something that's happening as an isolated event here or there. It's an ongoing progression. And as long as the people who are doing that think they have a reason for doing it and continuing to do it, it will continue to happen unless we organize and speak out and say, no, enough is enough. Stop. Go the other direction. So there are many, many bills that would add vaccines to current required vaccines, add new vaccines to the list, add new people to get vaccines who previously weren't required to get vaccines at all, would enable more people to administer vaccines. There's six states that have bills pending that would allow pharmacists to vaccinate children. That's just bizarre, for example. So there are disturbing pending changes that will happen if we don't participate in opposition to them. Now, there's also some good news here. There are some bills pending that would expand the right to choose. So, Debbie, what I'd like to do is to just sort of go over some of these briefly to give people an overview, a feel for what are some of the national trends right now in this area, both pro and con, and what are some of the states where some of the more serious or egregious things are going on, or attempts are going on. And I don't know how many times, I can't over-reinforce that I think the NVIC advocacy portal is probably the single best and most important way to become active in this arena, because they've set it up. Don Richardson and her husband spent close to a year developing the software on this, and now Dr. Joseph Mercola is hosting on his servers the NVIC advocacy portal. It's a wonderful collaboration between Dr. Mercola and the NVIC on this project. And what they really have created, and this is my words for it, not the NVIC's, is what I call the vaccine internet infrastructure for vaccine legislative activism. And in short terms, what that means is now anyone can participate in the process with very little time or effort. And of course, people who want to spend more time, there certainly are ways to do that and to be more of a contribution. But it's not nearly as critical who volunteers how much or spends how much of their time. It's about all of us participating, or as many of us participating in whatever way that we can. Because ultimately, it's going to take all of us doing together whatever it is each one of us can do to pull this off. And so everybody needs to decide for themselves what can they do. But if you have just a few minutes a week, you can join the advocacy portal and just check it out every few days to see if there's any new changes in your state. And then when there's a call to action, it'll be announced there. And then take a few minutes. Worst case scenario, you take a couple of minutes emailing your representatives. You know, ideal would be schedule a meeting and sit down face-to-face with them, but not everybody has time to do that. So send them a letter or give them a phone call, but at least send emails, because it makes a difference. They may not read every word of every communication or listen to every word of every phone message. They hear from lots of people about a lot of issues, but the more of us who communicate, the more loud our voice becomes. And it doesn't take necessarily a majority of people to get their attention. You have a small number of people banging pots and pans, and I mean that metaphorically, you can get a lot of attention sometimes. It doesn't necessarily take a majority of people. Of course, the more the better, but a small committed group of people can make a big difference.
Wonderful, because folks need to be encouraged to take action, even if they're just sitting by the sidelines and gathering the information for a long time. At one point, something will come up that will affect them in their state or their friend or their family member in another state, when they will say, it's time for me to get into gear to do something or to say something or to write to somebody. So even if you're just sitting by the sidelines right now, all of that great information Alan just provided is going to give you an arsenal of background of what to do or what's happening around the country. So that's really wonderful. I think we should go ahead to our list of news articles and just run through as many as we can before we want to go into depth about any particular one. There are so much all week long. Every day there are new articles popping up and commentaries, little bits of information that are pertinent to this cause of health freedom. And so I did mention that there is a petition for philosophical exemption. More and more, there are many websites like change.org or petition.org or many other websites where you can either start your own petition or help others gain followers and numbers who are supporting them. In fact, just earlier this week, I called the White House. I don't really do that very often, but sometimes something touches you in such a way that you know you have to speak out. And I think it made a difference for the GMO labeling, the Monsanto Protection Act, which was just totally blasphemy. I mean, Obama let that go, and meaning that Monsanto is totally irresponsible for anything that happens with GMO. And that's on another subject, but that's just another thing that you can do, is call the White House and voice your opinion or call your legislator in your state. So then you have, I also wanted to mention to everyone out there listening, we are on Vaccine Rights and Exemption and Waivers show in the United States, and also I will be talking about homeopathy and healing the last half hour. Go to www.vaccinerights.com to find out more about all of Alan's work securing your freedoms, and he also has the website pandemicresponseproject.com. If you look up news, you're going to see the list of items we're going to talk about today. So we have April 2013, believe it or not, it is spring, even though we have a little bit of hail and cold rain. The CDC claims of no autism vaccine link based on junk science. And this is just goes round and round. The article is written by Heidi Stevenson of GaiaHealth.com, and she also posted on GreenMedInfo.com, two wonderful alternative health websites. She kind of gives the argument of what's going on, why they're writing about diffusing the idea that there's a link between getting a vaccine and having autism. With the skyrocketing number of children with autism today, people are looking for a link, for a causation, for a reason why this is occurring. I've got to say that we have a polluted environment. We're feeding our bodies poorly. Pregnant women are not feeding their bodies properly with good nutrition, and that is a factor. We have lots of chemicals in our environment, in our water, in our air, in the plastics that are everywhere around, which are hormone disruptors. We have neurotoxins, which are the heavy metals that are in many things that you don't even realize, like lead in your garden hose. Who would have thought, right? lead on doorknobs or besides crystals everybody knows about. So there are these things out there that are causing it. I recommend going to pandemicresponseproject.com and clicking on the link to learn about that. You want me to continue? I'm giving your voice a break.
Yeah, well, thank you. Let's pause on that one for just a little bit, because this is I'm gonna take a really hard line here on this article, because this is strikes to the very heart of the vaccine controversy. You know, we had a real interesting discussion on this last Monday night with the show I do with Dr. Mayor Eisenstein, who's a family medical doctor who for the last 30 or 40 years has not vaccinated his own child patients and other patients in his practice over the years. And they estimate something on the order of 50,000 children have gone through his practice over the last 40 or so years now at this point. And they don't know of any of the kids that have in their practice that have autism. And statistically, they ought to have several hundred autism cases among the children in their practice, but they're a non-vaccinating practice. Now, that's another one of those correlation isn't proof of causation, but I tell you, in that particular instance, it's pretty compelling. The CDC is lying, and they're doing so knowingly and deliberately, and I just don't know any other way to put it or any other way to call it. And I want to repeat a couple of quick things to support that, because that's a pretty powerful statement. You know,
yes.
I've gotten to the point where people, when people say to me,
you would never ever have said that a year or two ago. I'm serious.
No, I would not.
So conservative, you would never have said anything of that nature. But something has changed the tables around.
A lot of things have contributed toward the tables flipping, and you're absolutely right. As recently as a year or two ago, I would have been much more guarded in my language and careful, and I maybe it's partly because of my legal training or just my inherent personality, but I see a lot of people with good intentions jump on information because it supports their preconceived view, and it's not always good information. So I try to be very careful. You know, in law, we're taught to cite everything. It's funny, if you've never seen a formal legal brief or article in a law review journal, take a look sometime. You'll see just about every sentence will have a cite, you know, supporting what it is. And lawyers are meticulous about that. And I like, just as a general practice, I like to make sure I have information from, if I can, two or more sources that are telling me the same or similar thing, so that I feel secure and confident in what I'm saying. And similarly, I try to be careful to qualify whenever I am speculating or drawing conclusions that may or may not be fully supported, even though they look like likely facts, for example. But in any case, we know the CDC, for example, the Coalition for Mercury Free Drugs nonprofit organization, had emails from the CDC that they got from the Freedom of Information Act, not something the CDC just sort of willingly or coughed up. And the emails that they got show that the CDC knew that vaccines caused autism, and they were discussing whether or not to publish that data, and they ended up not publishing the data. They published other data, and the study that resulted is a study that, quote-unquote, proves that vaccines don't cause autism. What they had deliberately, fraudulently, left out data that showed that vaccines do cause autism. So the CDC knows that vaccines cause autism. They're doing a protectionism thing here. Now, whether they're doing it to further the pharmaceutical industry's agenda, whether they're doing it to protect their own butts politically, and, you know, it's like, on the one hand, if they would be a little more forthright and honest about this, they could save their credibility, because their credibility is out the window.
Down the tubes.
For anybody who knows what's going on. You know, once you've been discredited one time in a serious critical event, you've knowingly and deliberately falsified information, you know, from that point forward, your credibility is gone for anything. Even if the next time you are telling the truth, your credibility is still shot. And that's the situation we have here. So they know that they're lying, but they're doing it anyway, and they're doing it to protect themselves politically. They're doing it to protect the pharmaceutical industry, and who, you know, those are speculative comments on my part, but they're very likely. I mean, what else would they be protecting? And so that's going on. In April of 2011, a couple of years, gosh, 2 years ago now, time is flying, Paul Thorson, researcher and investigator who was pulling together studies to supposedly refute the vaccine autism connection, and he was one of the authors on the same study I was just talking about. He's one of the listed authors on that. He was indicted for, I think it was 13 counts of fraud with the CDC and 9 counts of money laundering, something like that. He's now a fugitive on the run, still publishing from some undisclosed location, but he's on the run, avoiding authorities, because if he gets caught, he'll be thrown in jail and taken to trial. So this is certainly not indicative of the CDC as a whole. I'm sure there are wonderful people working for the organization trying to do a good job, doing the best they can, but there are key decision makers in and out of that organization driving the ship there, who are people who are deliberately defrauding the country and the world. And the fundamental issue here, in a more abstract sense, is that corruption is the problem. You know, that science is not what drives vaccine policy and law. Whatever else it is, profits, population control of one form or another, fertility control, so forth, these are probably all different pieces of it. But whatever it is, some people will say even more directly and stronger, they'll just say flat out it's a eugenics agenda. Whatever it is that's driving it, it's not science. And that is the key piece of information.
That's
that
what
needs
you said at the beginning of the show, Alan. You said it's you said, is it science-based evidence for these vaccines, or is it authoritarian, which I could say political agenda, you know?
Dr. Orient, Jane Orient, had a very direct but still slightly softer way of saying what I'm now saying in a more sort of
right. I
want to
remind everybody that this is a conversation between two friends. This is educational information. This is creating waves of awareness. We're not giving any advice. We're not diagnosing, prescribing, or giving legal advice. I want folks to know that.
Okay.
And, you know, because we have our opinions, too, and we want you to make your own opinion based on full disclosure and complete information. One of the things about this particular issue where they're negating the link between autism and vaccinations is the fact that I don't think that they give due to Andrew Wakefield and the fact that he's been exonerated, that he really has been telling the truth all along and giving actual scientific information on about children's health, about their problems with their gut due to the biologics of vaccines. So, I mean, I don't think that was even part of it. But Heidi Stevenson of Gaia Health and GreenMed Info, read her article, and you will really get an earful of stuff. I want to tell you also something that I put, and it goes along with this topic, and that is on Facebook. I made an announcement for today's show, and I wrote, the FDA, this is regarding the Gardasil, the HPV vaccination. The FDA declared the HPV vaccine safe to prevent a sexually transmitted disease, safe for girls and for boys. Okay, let's see. They declared it safe, right? But why does the federal government also protect vaccine manufacturers from being sued when the vaccines cause injury and death? So there's a thinker for you. You know,
well, I got an answer for you for that if you'd like to hear it.
Okay. I'll let you do that, and I'll give you another one to talk about.
Well, listen, if you don't mind, Debbie, we've actually already gone past the break point here. Why don't we take a break, and we'll give folks a reason to stick around, because we're going to answer that question and come back to Debbie's other piece to it right after break. Does that work for you, Debbie?
Cool.
All right, folks, stay with us. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips and Homeopathy World Community Founder Debbie Bruck. And we will be right back with you in about 4 or 5 minutes. Don't go away.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you will ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying in an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it. And this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
We're back. Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips, Homeopathy World Community Founder Debbie Brooke. Debbie, you still with us there?
Can you hear me? Your voice sounds just marvelous. It's so deep. I would like to let you know that Debbie Lewis is going to have a show Thursday night on Securing Liberty with Michael J. Weber and Debbie Lewis, joined by Liberty candidate Chris Tidd, and that's 11 p.m. Central Time. And what else is she having? April 4th is Chris Tidd, April 11th, Stan Deo, April 18th, Jenny Warman and Judy Morris, and April 25th, Christopher Bolin. So she's going to have some hot people on Thursday nights. That's coming from backstage, Freedomizer Radio.
And they run shows just about all day and late into the evening, I think 7 days a week, and maybe not as late on weekends, I'm not entirely sure, but they have shows going all the time, a lot of great shows. So
24/7. There's another guy, Austin Thomas. Not Austin Powers, Austin Thomas, Wednesday, Guerrilla Radio, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and with Lisa Brumfield, a.k.a. Liberty Lisa. And she's going to have Debbie Lewis as a special guest. Isn't that fun? So I think you can find out more about it, and people will make the announcements. We have so many different shows on Freedomizer Radio. So I'm glad you're with us, and we're going to continue this discussion. We were just talking about, help me out here, we were talking about the reason. You're going to give me the reason.
I was going to answer a question, and I tell you, when we first got back from break, I was thinking, now, what was the question? And it had
FDA
to do with
declared,
why.
Yeah. FDA declared the HPV vaccine safe to prevent a sexually transmitted disease for both girls and boys. Boys who don't get the vaginal warts, I wonder. Well, why does the federal government need to also have protect the vaccine manufacturers from being sued when the vaccines cause injury and death? And we are waiting for your answer now.
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, there certainly could be different answers or different levels of answers to the question. And I'll start with a more superficial one. That in the early and mid-1980s, we saw vaccine manufacturers pulling out of the vaccine, manufacturing business because the lawsuits that people who were injured were filing, or families of people who died were filing, they were winning some of these lawsuits, and the damage awards they were getting were really discouraging to the industry. And so the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which is part of the National Vaccine, Childhood Vaccine Act, I don't remember the exact name, but a larger vaccine act that was enacted in the mid-1980s, among other things, created a virtually no liability system for the pharmaceutical industry and vaccine manufacturers. Of course, the problem here is on one level obvious and disturbing, and on another level, I suppose it makes sense. If you assume that vaccines are necessary for society no matter what, then this law makes perfect sense. If you step back and think in a little more sort of common sense terms, well, if the vaccines are causing so much harm that it's putting them out of business, the manufacturers out of business, shouldn't they do something to fix that? There's no other industry on the planet that I'm aware of that has this kind of protection. Let me give you the quick overview.
I just told you one, Monsanto.
All right. I'm going to give you that.
I win.
You do. So let me give you, and I don't mind, Debbie, if we bring in and talk about, you know, other kinds of health-related issues, such as the Monsanto rider that just went through Congress, allegedly because the people voting on it, according to Jon Stewart on last night's show anyway, the people voting for it didn't even know it was there. Of course, Jon Stewart has a very humorous way of calling attention to these matters, which is great because sometimes you have to have a little sugar with this stuff to be able to swallow it because it's so darn bitter taking it raw. It was passed without there being any discussion or debate. Most of the representatives probably didn't even know the rider was there. And in any event, they probably thought they had to sign it in order to get the larger bill passed, which was creating funding for another 6 months for the federal government. But the most disturbing part, according to Jon Stewart's show last night, was that it was introduced by, everybody will recognize this name, Anonymous.
Anonymous?
Apparently this Anonymous.
Really?
A famous, well-known person. Apparently there's a system whereby committees can add riders to bills anonymously, so we don't even have a person we can point to say, so you're the dirty rep that slid this in a way that the only way you could get it passed is if you put it in and got it voted on without even by anybody even knowing they were voting for it. So,
wow, I thought Anonymous was part of, what is it called, OWS. No, I thought Anonymous was OWS, you know, we're fighting against the stock market and the banks and all of that. So, you know, I thought it was the people who were the Anonymous, you know.
Well, anybody who was
the masked man, Zorro.
The fact that we have a system where you can even do that at all, anonymously or not, attach something at the last minute so that it goes through, it's completely unrelated to the bill that everybody is just talking about and voting on and deciding on, and you attach something completely unrelated to that so that it slides through without anybody knowing about it, you can do that anonymously, apparently. I mean, this is a truly corrupt system. There's no other word for it, unless there's some other words that are a more rude way of saying that, perhaps. But in, as a general concept, there's just no other way to describe that. It's corrupt. And the fact that the system allows that to happen is egregiously problematic, and it's not something
It's the same thing with the vaccine industry, because no person gets pointed out, doesn't go to jail.
I think it's, even though we call ourselves a show about vaccines, this is why I think it's important to bring in occasionally these other issues, because the vaccines are only one example of a broader systemic problem with corruption.
Yes.
And it's important for people to understand that this goes on throughout a variety of industries and state and federal agencies. It's not just a unique problem with vaccines. You know, sometimes when people say, well, what are the problem with vaccines? And my answer is there were no weapons of mass destruction. And I mean that,
there
of course,
metaphorically.
Mm-hmm. There were no weapons of mass destruction. You know, I've seen information mm-hmm. recently where, I mean, we all know that there were no weapons of mass destruction. What we now know, and coming from some high-level officials from right inside our own government, saying that not only were there no weapons of mass destruction, but they knew darn well that there was no evidence of mass destruction weapons when they were going public and saying, we have proof of weapons of mass destruction. And President Bush and Colin Powell and other government officials were talking publicly here in the U.S. to United Nations, to the rest of the world, saying we have reliable evidence that there are weapons of mass destruction. That was the support for the war in Iraq. And they knew,
boy, oh boy.
They knew that they didn't have information that they were sitting there claiming they had. So either those people were lying, or the people they relied on were lying, and maybe, who knows, you know, exactly what happened and who knew what at what time. But we do know now very clearly from officials from those times that there was deliberate fraud perpetrated there upon the American public and the world in order to start a war. We could speculate what the reasons for that war were, but I can tell you that when the U.S. gets involved militarily in foreign countries in any recent decade, it's always one that has large oil reserves. So you can bet that at least part of the answer is it's about it's a greed-based motive, and they're willing to spend thousands of American lives to enrich themselves and their buddies in the oil and gas industries. And that is something that people should be imprisoned for life for, or executed if you believe in the death penalty. And I won't take that debate up here on the show today. But again, it's just really important for people to understand that this is the world we live in today. Now, I'm not saying these things just so everybody can get depressed and go home and become an alcoholic. I'm saying it to create awareness, but the awareness alone is a as critical a first step as it is. If that's all you do is become aware, you know, nothing changes. And so we have to become active, and that's why we keep emphasizing here with the vaccine issue, the vaccine NVIC's advocacy portal, because that's a vehicle for becoming active to bring about some positive and constructive change, at least in the vaccine arena. Of course, we need to find ways to do that with the GMO problems and other things that you know we may mention or be aware of on the show here.
I want to thank Mystery Guest, who is on the chat on Freedomizer Radio, for giving us a link to Bill to Repeal HPV Vaccine Mandate in Virginia, carried over to 2013. Because we are talking about the HPV Gardasil vaccine, it says the Virginia Senate has rejected legislation that would have repealed a requirement that girls receive a vaccine to prevent a virus that can cause cervical cancer. By the way, that has not been proven. State law mandates the human papillomavirus or HPV vaccination before girls reach sixth grade. Hey, are these children are not sexually active?
It's in fact, Virginia.
Go.
You go. No, you go. No, you go. Virginia has. I was just gonna add. Virginia has a bill pending right now that will require the HPV vaccine for boys. Require it for boys. Well, I mean, it only makes sense. We don't want boys to get cervical cancer, so they really should be getting this vaccine. I mean, this is how obviously they're trying to say this is something that will help boys not get genital warts or whatever other stuff they can make up about all this, but. It's just really that absurd, you know, where you're now dictating, the state is mandating morality because this is not a disease you get because somebody in the same room sneezes or coughs, okay? So this involves anytime you're dealing with sexually transmitted diseases, you're necessarily involving issues of morality and ethics and parental authority and responsibility and rights. And a lot of people are going to have different values, different concerns and considerations, different ways they want to do that. That's up to parents. And the state is now mandating morality. And that is fundamentally wrong, fundamentally against the principles on which this nation was founded. So it's just one of, you know, many, many problems here in the vaccine arena. There are six states right now that have bills pending concerning the HPV vaccine. Kentucky wants to require the HPV vaccine for boys and girls. Parents are going to be required to get information in Florida and Georgia, which is just a preliminary step to a later mandate. And then in South Carolina, there's a bill that would allow the health department to provide the HPV vaccine to girls entering seventh grade. So they're trying to bypass parents again. They want to...
they're looking for every way to go around it and scare parents, get to the children, the same way that the candy corporations and the other corporations have gotten to kids through commercials and advertising, bypassing the parental guidance and control, because then the kids just, like, they go wild for whatever it is. And once you – they're going toward the target. That's what they're doing. I wanted to give you another little quote to talk about. This is vaccines for the 2009 swine flu virus carry a small increased risk of a rare paralyzing disease, though the benefits of the shots far outweigh their risks, according to the U.S. government. And so, once again, this goes back to what you said before. Who's taking these risks? The parents, the dynamics of their family can be totally destroyed and decimated when their children become incapable of functioning, incapable of going to school, of feeding themselves, of having autism, whatever, having neurological disease. Who's taking the risk? And why would they then say, never mind about that risk? The benefits of the shot far outweigh the risk. I would like to know what the benefits are. They're not telling the people, hey,
go out, get some sunlight, get some vitamin D, take some vitamin C, you know, all of these other beneficial ways of boosting your immune system. The swine flu, you know, it was practically nil this year, and it's, you know, you get it, you get over it, and you're better. Go ahead.
Well, the swine flu, first of all, turned out to be far less virulent than even the seasonal flu. The only reason we had any clue that there was any new virus that year at all was because we now have the ability scientifically to clinically distinguish between different flu virus strains, and that's the only reason we even knew there was a so-called swine flu virus. If we didn't know that, it would have been not recognized as being different from any other flu season. So you've got a flu virus that is less virulent than the seasonal flu, and yet somehow it triggered a declared international pandemic of the highest level 6, which the World Health Organization changed the definition of level 6 so that they could call it a level 6, because when they did that, it triggered contract clauses with the pharmaceutical industry in countries around the world for the sale of $18 billion worth of swine flu vaccines, most of which are never even administered. So, I mean, it was just a huge money scam. And they changed that definition so that a really mild disease could be called the worst disease, the worst level they have. I mean, none of this makes any sense unless you're looking at it from the point of view of greedy people who, you know, want to sell a bunch of unnecessary products. Because let's face it, you know, in current and recent times, countries around the world have had all this extra discretionary money that they don't know what to do with. So it's really good that the pharmaceutical industry came up with something for them to spend all that extra money they have on. So obviously I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah,
I could
give them ideas on how to spend money. I'm pretty good at that. So
yeah.
A beneficial way to really improve society and give people a boost up, make people stronger, not weaker. So we hardly even covered, we only touched upon two news items. I mean, there is so much out there. You want to just do a quick list of things?
Yeah, well, let's do a quick summary of where we can send folks, and we can certainly come back to a lot of this next time. And I want to go ahead and get to the next break so that we preserve as much of your half hour for you at the end there. Our last break was a little late, which is fine, but that gave us a shorter segment here. We just touched on a couple parts of an upcoming article that'll be on Natural News and some other websites in a few days, talking about that's a current summary of what's going on legislatively around the country with vaccine legislation, pending bills around the country. So look for that article coming up on Natural News and some other sites, and we'll talk about this more next week, I'm sure. The Pandemic Response Project, the website is those three words all spelled out, pandemicresponseproject.com, has a news page that is updated on an almost daily basis, if not daily basis, with vaccine news articles and links. So go there when you can and skim through. Even just reading the titles can sometimes give you a quick overview of what's going on around the country and around the world on this issue, and obviously click the links and read any of the articles that you have time and interest to do. You can get my ebook, The Authoritative Guide to Vaccine Legal Exemptions, at vaccinerights.com, vaccinerights.com, and lots of free information as well at the vaccinerights.com website. And Debbie, tell us a little bit about Homeopathy World Community and where people can find your information, and then we'll jump into the last break so we can get to your discussion on homeopathy today.
Sure. We have, go to those three words, homeopathyworldcommunity.com. The front page usually has banners to let you know what's coming up in the week. On Monday, we're going to have a special guest, Renita Herman. She's going to be talking about post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, and traumatic brain injury, because she takes care of a lot of veterans of war. She is a homeopath. She has experience all over the world with contagious disease, treating children and adults. And we're talking about trauma because it is the theme for the World Homeopathy Awareness Week, which is coming up the second week of April. And then on Wednesday, we're going to have a special guest Wednesday on Blog Talk Radio, 10:30 a.m., with Dr. Christina Chambreau, doctor of veterinary medicine, a holistic doctor. And I don't remember the topic. Oh, fleas and mites and things like that, bugs, how to keep your pets free of those bugs. And typically we have a show with Dr. Otto on Wednesday at 11:30, but he's on vacation. So I think I'm going to be talking about homeopathy. And those are our shows. We've got lots of links to learning, education, talking about thousands of cases, case studies, and about homeopathic remedies. We have so much available for you, and all the archives are there. So I'll be talking in a few minutes after the break. You're going to take care of the break today, and I want to thank you for taking care of that.
My pleasure, Debbie. You're listening to Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. with Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips and Homeopathy World Community founder Debbie Brook. Debbie will be back with you right after the break. Don't go away, folks. You want to learn something from a skilled homeopath, Debbie is one of the folks to listen to on that. So we'll be back in about 4 to 5 minutes. We'll see you then.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping, so go to freedomizerradio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on freedomizerradio.com. Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called SolarVay. And SolarVay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer, for as long as they have SolarVay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has SolarVay. You sign up enough people, and SolarVay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to SolarVay.com/freedomizer. That's SolarVay, SolarVay.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up 3 people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, SolarVay.com/freedomizer.
Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that. You know, you got to elect the right people. No, change your thinking. Change the way you feel. Change the way you do things. Do everything for peace. Like John Lennon said, walk for peace. You take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do for peace.
Every time you do that, you set a ripple effect out.
Because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument. To learn how to direct and control your mind, you guys are superheroes. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. You guys are the most powerful people in the world.
We see the power in you to change your thinking. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Join me, Valerie Ann, on the Truth Exposition Show at Freedomizer Radio in exposing the truth about FEMA camps, drone surveillance, martial law, the New World Order, our threatened freedoms and civil liberties, and for weekly news and current events. Mainstream media continues with its lies and deceit to fulfill the agenda of the New World Order. So please join me in exposing the truth, along with the lies and the deceptions that are being fed to the American people. The people of the United States have a voice, and your voice will be heard through Freedomizer Radio.
Hey, man, this is the Rasta man.
smoking the big fat spliff and listening to the mouth on the Last Voice for Liberty Network. Lord have mercy.
Liberty Network.
Okay, well, we're back, and Debbie, I'm going to turn it over to you to finish out the two-hour segment.
Okay.
Thank you so
welcome to stick around if you can hold out. I want to give a free offer. There's a new book by Dr. Mort Orman. This comes from Dr. Christina Chambreau, Dr. Veterinary Medicine. Her husband has written a book called The Irritability Cure, How to Stop Being Angry, Anxious, and Frustrated All the Time. It's available for a limited time just this week. That it really ends April 5th. That's tomorrow. You can go to Amazon, the Kindle bookstore. There is a link that I put right directly onto the Freedomizer Radio show page. And you can take that link, and it's $0, 0 cents. Download it to your Kindle device. You don't even need to have a Kindle because you can do it on the cloud on your internet. So that is awesome. And we want to thank both Mort Orman and Christina Chambreau for that. Our topic today is about anger. It's about bullying in particular, because what I like to do on this section of the show is talk about stress reduction, things that cause us anxiety, stress in our lives, and learn methods of understanding it within ourselves and to be able to take action. I actually had a quote from his book. I'm reading on the Cloud Reader. It says, your irritability should no longer be a mystery to you. And this is already halfway through the book. It's 77 pages long. You now have a foolproof way to always identify, and I just clicked on something, hold on, a foolproof way to always identify the hidden internal causes of anger or irritability anytime these feelings occur for you. Thus, it should never again be a mystery to you why you get irritated in any situation. While you may have previously thought it was the behavior of others or the events that happen outside of you that cause you to become irritated, you can no longer afford to engage in this fantasy. It's not the external events or behaviors of others that are causing you to feel irritated. Rather, it is your own internal thought patterns and action patterns, which over the years have become programmed to occur in your body. And he provides, in the previous section, simple tools, an anger index card, your anger index card, to always know for sure exactly why you're irritated about anything. Mystery solved. And then he goes further. The second half of the book is pretty exciting. Step five, and he gives five steps in his book, how to create new relationship to your irritability that can enable you to make it quickly disappear whenever you want. So grab it now. It's free. Now I'm going to go on to the topic of today, bullying. And we do live in a world that is full of bullying. It's not just in the classroom, in the neighborhood you think about bullying, bullying for children. No, it's everywhere. It's in the social networks. It's adults. It's even in the chat rooms. I've seen it happen on Freedomizer Radio. So in the power struggles that go on between people in all walks of life, you'd never believe who would be a bully. It's a special type of persecution. People can feel threatened by others at work, at home, at school, in the public place. Even just like unkind criticism. People say, gee, you're rude, you're nasty. People get upset. People talk with sarcasm, irony, and humor. You know, a lot of comedians do this. It's really a negative kind of response to their stress, to their anger, really. And even silence are more subtle ways in which a person can bully another. Have you ever had the silent treatment? It doesn't feel so good. It's being rejected, isn't it? It's being an outcast when you're not listened to. Discrimination of any kind can involve bullying, whether it's over race, sex, religion, age, class, size, height, how much you weigh, what you look like, what you wear. It could be anything. Those who are sick can be unintentionally bullied by well-meaning but harassed healthcare professionals. Aha! So
we talk about that. The elderly and those with a mental or physical disability can be bullied by those who care for them, including the people in social services. And you hear a lot about the elderly who are in facilities who are mistreated. Children in groups can especially be cruel, behaving like pack animals, hunting out those who do not fit in and picking on them mercilessly. And over this past few months, we've heard that New Delhi, India, is the rape capital of the world. And every time I read these articles, these people are running in packs like wolves and dogs. They don't care. I mean, even two people together are not secure anymore. It can be quite a frightening environment to live in today. Common emotional reactions to bullying include humiliation, fear, anxiety, and shame. And, you know, I was just on listening to another person's Blog Talk Radio yesterday. There was a person who was spamming. He must have written 25 digs into the persons who were speaking about a relevant topic. And he was giving their oppositional view. And within that chat, there were at least 25 people. Nobody peeped up. Nobody said anything. I wanted to speak up and say something. Actually, I had a little private on your Blog Talk Radio chats, you can have a private talk with somebody. And I said, what's going on? And she asked me, why aren't I speaking up? You know, it's fear. It's humiliation. It's shame. It's being alone, feeling like you're one against the other. And you're going to be ostracized, or it's our fear of repercussion of what's going to happen to us, so we don't talk up. I did eventually say something. I asked, anybody else out there disagree with this guy? And then we knocked him out because, you know, you don't need to have him spamming up your show. But it's action, folks. It's action. And this is what Alan and I talk about all the time. You can be you're part of whatever's happening in your environment. I don't know exactly the legality. I know in some religious circles, if you're a witness to a crime and you didn't say something, speak up, take action, unless your own life and limb were harmed, that means you were part of that occurrence. You were put there, I want to say, by our Creator to witness that for some reason. What was it in your life that you needed to see that or to learn that, some kind of lesson for yourself? That's my own opinion out there. I forgot to tell you that Blog Talk Radio is a marvelous forum, and we even have call in 347-324-3704. We forget to do that at times, or you can call in via Skype if you ever want to talk to us. Common emotional reactions to bullying, I told you, were humiliation, fear, anxiety, and shame. Those who have been bullied experience a loss of self-confidence in themselves, a loss of trust in others, and we're all feeling that. And as a matter of fact, communally, we're feeling that. On the planet, we're feeling that. The government is making us feel like that when they lie to us, when we have entrusted our lives, our health, our goodwill with them. Supposedly, they're supposed to take care of us. Children who are bullied at school may refuse to go and may regress emotionally and can become aggressive themselves. Doesn't this make sense? One force against another force. There's always resistance. There's always pushback. There's always a way to make yourself feel bigger and stronger by being a bully so that you are not the victim. And this is something that can happen. Other children might have complaints. They have tummy aches. They have headaches. They have insomnia. They have tiredness. These kids don't want to go to school. Adults might suffer from rashes or backaches, or more serious complaints like irritable bowel syndrome or migraines. So you can see where this is all leading. It's all leading that when you're in an environment of bullying, you can become physically sick, mentally, emotionally sick. And it can be not just an acute situation. It can be long-term chronic for your whole life until you find a way to heal, until you get a counselor, an advisor, somebody who's going to help you through the difficulty. And in fact, you might have been bullied as a child. You're not bullied anymore as you grow up. Maybe you became a bully somewhere. But you're an adult now, and you're still living the memory of that childhood experience. So you carry that with you through your life, in your organs, in your cells. And that memory might be your continued carrying of stress and something that's not really helpful for you. What you do want to do is check out your civil rights, learn what your legal rights are, and let's say you have noisy neighbors or something, or barking dogs. Consider reporting that there's a harassment, helping your child in school, being their protector and supporter. Keep notes and document things that are occurring so that you can put in an official complaint. And now I'm going to talk to you a little bit. There are many, many other things that you can do, but I want to leave a little bit of time for homeopathy and homeopathic remedies. I'm going to go through quickly four homeopathic remedies for those who are either bullies or have been harassed, who have lost self-confidence. The first one is Brytocarbonicum. And remember, this is all educational information for you to learn, study, and research. This is not anything that you should take upon yourself to do for yourself. There are professionals who can help you out there. The Brytocarb is for children or adults who regress as a result of bullying, who become emotionally withdrawn and mentally stuck. Typically, now homeopathically, we look at individuals in a totality, holistically. We might see emotional outbursts and stuff, but we want to look at physical symptoms to confirm what's going on with them. So they typically have swollen glands, and it also, this remedy, Brytocarbonicum, which is barium carbonate, helps the heart and the nerves. It's related to problems with weakness. It's useful for young children whose development is slow, so they're having trouble in school. For old people who are mentally regressing into their second childhood, so you could see how it might be really helpful for those elderly who have gone into a state of, like, Alzheimer's. They become physically dependent on others to look after them, and there's also for people who are weakening with age. They need vitality. They suffer from weak bones and weak tendons. The patient can appear slow to comprehend, slow in their movements, inept and especially bashful and timid. And I'm going to be talking about another remedy that is also bashful and timid, but is not Brytocarb. They can feel inefficient and unworthy, insecure with their school, at school, and with friends. So you can see how when you're feeling insecure, you might end up to be a bully simply because you're not sure of yourself. And this is like a front. It's like a mask before other people. It happens to be a good remedy for bedwetting, which means that at night when they're asleep and their unconscious mind starts to work, they release their pent-up anxiety. It's also a remedy that is used not just for the mental slowness after a serious illness, but also after something like measles, typhoid, mumps, and scarlet fever. Now, today we don't see that much of those diseases, but they are coming back. So you might remember this remedy, Brytocarb. They are very sensitive to the cold and susceptible to becoming cold. Okay, we're going to work on the next remedy, and that is called Lycopodium. Lycopodium is for the intellectual type who gets bullied at work or at school, and it comes down to feeling humiliation again. They suffer from very low self-esteem, self-confidence, and anxiety. They don't feel that they're worthy. They're up to presenting something before a public audience. But once they get going, once they get started, they actually do a really good job. This remedy helps the body to absorb and digest nutrients. It's called what we call in homeopathy a liver remedy for the gallbladder and the digestive tract. These folks have a problem with gas, with their digestion and feeling bloated along with their self-confidence. So if they have to release this gas, they would definitely feel humiliated in public. They can also have other kinds of problems with their skin, but it's their ego that is the main problem. One of the things that happens with lycopodium personality types is they can be totally subservient at work or at school, really good students. But when they get home, either as a child, as a sibling, they can become bossy or bullying. And if they're a parent or a husband or a wife, they can be domineering and they can be a tyrant at home. They're typically very irritable and they shun responsibility. They might even weep too, but they do get one of the main things, and we call this in homeopathy keynotes, is they get bloated very easily after eating, and even eating just a small amount gets them feeling full. And that is one of the most ancient remedies on the planet, club moss, called lycopodium. I hope that was helpful. The next remedy I'm going to talk about is silica. And silica is the sand at the beach. It's glass. It helps. It's everything everybody knows about, little silica packets that are put in their pill containers to keep things dry. So these silica people have a lot of dryness to them. The skin is dry, very, very dry, and can be cracking. And going to the bathroom is so dry that it's difficult to have a movement. The silica also lacks this confidence. Remember, silica is one of the main elements in your plants, in your plant life. And that's why Kaviraj, agro homeopath, holistic homeopath to crops and garden plants and forestry, he recommends silica for your plants to get it going. So right now, it's springtime. It's a good time to give your garden a little watering with some homeopathic silica, not any crude doses, but actually energy medicine. These silica people really lack the confidence, which keeps the plant standing erectly, keeps it up. They need propping up. Their digestion also has problems. They might have bone problems, toothache problems, asthma, allergies. They lack so much of their self-confidence, and they feel so apprehensive that you see as children they are extremely timid, and they have a very delicate character. They're mild and they're yielding. So you think about something, a sheaf of grass that's bending in the wind, that's like silica. They bend and they yield. So whoever they're with, they're going to let them dominate them, because they don't have enough stamina themselves to speak up for themselves or to hold their own. They also feel worse with the cold, but they perspire very easily. And if they have a suppressed sweat, like using deodorants or talcum powder or something in their socks, then they're going to suppress their vital force, their energy level. And when they do that, they're going to get weaker and sicker. So these silica people need to be able to perspire in order to let the toxins go out in that perspiration. That is silica for mostly those people who are dominated. But remember, every side of every personality, if these people are so obstinate and stubborn in their ways, they can also become a bully. The next remedy that I'm going to talk about, and this is the last one for today, is Staphysagria. Staphysagria is the blue delphinium flower. So this is a plant. So I gave you two minerals and two plants. This plant helps folks who feel humiliated and indignant and very angry. So, again, you see the pattern of bullies making others feel humiliated and in shame, and these folks become very indignant. It's most often used for women, but men could certainly use it if they have a full holistic picture of this. They are angry. These people are so angry, but they would never show it. Basically, they put on a beautiful face to the public, and they just repress and suppress that anger within themselves to make themselves sick. They hide it behind that smile, but it's bubbling underneath all the time. They replay one of the bad bullying incidents that they had during the night in bed, and they say all kinds of things that they wish they had said. They think later, oh, I should have said this and that to protect myself, to support myself, to stand up for myself, but they didn't think of it during the actual incident. This is a very special remedy for injury to soft tissue, especially after surgery. So you think about the kinds of injury that a person might have with a knife cutting into them, especially in the soft tissue of their body, in their abdominal tract, in the areas of the reproductive organs, or any of those kinds of surgeries in the body. They have a heart, it's a wound remedy, actually. They are wounded, and they have been cause for all of these emotions that have been suppressed. Most especially, most homeopaths know Staphylococcus aureus is used for women who have been through sexual abuse. Sexual abuse is definitely a form of bullying. The Staphylococcus aureus patient is very sensitive, and they, as a result, have a violent and passionate outburst. I remember reading that they will throw things. The same as belladonna will throw things, but Staphylococcus aureus will throw things away. They'll throw it in the garbage. Which these outbursts don't relieve their tension and their stress. It makes them worse by hearing the opinions of others. So if you're going to try and console this personality type that needs Staphylococcus aureus, don't give it a try, because they're just going to get more and more upset and more angry. It's useful for illnesses that have been caused by a person bottling up their anger inside, and they also, like the silica, accept authority of others without question and are sensitive. They're sensitive to their environment. These plant remedies are sensitive to their environment because they don't have legs and they can't walk around and they can't leave or escape the situation. So they have little feelers on them. And you can think about plants that have little hairs on them. They're sensitive to sounds, to sights, to taste, and to touch. They're also romantic and easily disappointed and are inclined to be very sexually aware with a history of that sexual abuse, which I mentioned. Along with that comes addictions to alcohol or drugs. They can be those folks that you see overeating. You know, they're repressing their emotions by putting food in their mouth. Or they can be overworking. These are other kinds of typical addictive behaviors. I've been watching hungryforchange.org. I highly recommend that people take a look at that. There's incredible experts in healing you totally and completely using your nutrition, understanding what are you repressing, what are your emotions behind your behavior, behind your addictive eating. They may also be constantly occupied, if they're a parent, with their child's lives. So this patient can sleep all day, but they can't sleep at night, and their physical symptoms are worse after they sleep, which is similar to another homeopathic remedy called Lachesis. These, you know, we're coming to the end of the show, and we only have 90 seconds left. I really appreciate that everybody has stuck in with me. I'm going to put on our sign-off music and see you next Thursday at 1 o'clock.
Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars' dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny. Let